You are now listening to Mike's Opinion, Logic Unleashed.
That's right, you are now listening to the Mike's Opinion podcast. Thank you so much for listening. How you doing out there? You doing all right today? Well, I don't know that I am. This episode is the update, which I do every so often. I just provide an update on everything that's going on around us. Of course, offer my opinion and my perspective on what's going on. I'm going to save the biggest topic for last because that's probably what I'm going to be the longest on. Let's talk about COVID-19, which is, of course, still raging on, unfortunately. We have passed 200,000 deaths in the United States of America. That's just sad. It's sad, and it's not good at all. And we want it to stop, you know? We want it to stop. But I don't think it's going to at all for a very long time. Unfortunately, I think it's going to just keep going and keep growing. I see a whole new world, you know, for all of us. Really, you know, I think back for years where in China and Japan, I've seen them rocking face masks for a long, long time. Like a long time, you know? And now it's here. To give you some more perspective, right now, I watch this website. Some have doubted or questioned their numbers, and others have said they're pretty accurate. They have tickers going on their website. This particular website is called worldometers.info. So they're pretty good with their coronavirus numbers as of right now. And this ticker is going up as I'm recording this. But the current world population, they say, is 7,813,959,810, 11, 12, 15, 16, 17, and it's going up. And there's been 102,494,353 births this year, 43,029,596 and going up deaths this year. We're fast approaching 8 billion people on planet Earth. Okay? Now, the coronavirus, SARS-2, COVID-19, worldwide, there are 32,104,248 cases. 32,104,248 cases with 982,047 deaths. Now they say of those 32 million worldwide cases, 23 million plus have recovered. Okay. In the United States, 7,139,553 overall cases and total deaths from the coronavirus or attributed to the coronavirus are 206,593. So that's where we're at. However, we're getting as close to normal as we can. And I say as close to normal because we're not there. There's no concerts going on. You know, everybody's still rocking masks in public. I won't say weird, but I feel like I'm about to rob the joint because I don't put on my mask at the very last second. So, you know, when I'm going to the store and the stores that, you know, make it mandatory for you to wear masks, I hold my mask in my hand till I get right to that door and then I put it on and I always feel like, you know, like a bank robber, like a robber, like I'm about to, you know, go rob the joint, you know, but I wear my mask reluctantly. And I say that because it never made sense to me. If we're social distancing, why do I need to wear a mask? Right? So I think it's overkill and I think I should have the option. But a lot of these stores are covering their ass when it comes to liability. So they're like, yo, go ahead. Mandatory. You got to wear the mask to shop in the store. I've seen videos where people have gotten kicked out of the store because they were not wearing a mask. So, yeah, that's what's really going on. But apparently this coronavirus was here before anybody really knew it. And I think many of us have already had it. You know, if we get tested for antibody tests, they do widespread antibody tests. I'm pretty sure we've all had it, you know, and either we were strong enough or didn't have underlying health conditions. And, you know, it's all good. So, anybody that's listened to my podcast knows that I have an episode on vaccinations, which I need to update. It was one of the very earliest episodes I ever did. And, I need to add a part two to that for sure. Maybe even a series of that, ongoing series. But, you know, I'm anti-vaxxer. I'll just put it out there. I just don't believe that I want foreign substances injected into me, no matter how safe governments or the medical community say it's safe. Now, I'm not going to go into vaccinations, but in terms of this virus or any virus, measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, polio, any of these, before we had the medical advances that we have today, before we had the ability to, you know, supposedly immunize or inoculate, you know, vast populations, people died. And guess what? We came out stronger and the immunity was natural. We didn't need to be vaccinated because the weaker of us, the more susceptible of us succumb to the disease. And the rest of us lived on and were stronger for it. The overall population of planet Earth was stronger for it. It did not decimate the entire population. And the same theory applies here. If we let this run rampant through our entire planet Earth, we'd all build up an immunity to it, would we not? Now, yes, it's sad. A lot of people would die. But guess what? A lot of people die anyway. We're all going to die. And I do not want that to come across as insensitive, because I am not. Because I have lost people near and dear to me that were loved by me. And they are missed. They are remembered. You know, they are cherished. And it's unfortunately inevitable for all of us. And I don't wish anybody could die. I wish we had, for those who wanted it, immortality. Right? But if you've watched any vampire movies, you know that immortality gets boring after a while. Especially you keep losing loved ones, people that do die, you know, and you keep going through this vicious cycle of heartbreak and torment. And then they beg for death. They want to be dead. Well, some of them anyway. So, I think that would be the better way to go than enriching these pharmaceutical companies. Cause let's be very clear. They're all racing these pharmaceutical companies to get a vaccine out first. So their stock price could go up. So their profits can, you know, skyrocket again, because none of them are doing it for free. None of them are doing it not for profit. So. That's very clear. And here in the United States, our whole medical system is based on profit. They're all for-profit institutions. Most of the majority of these hospitals and clinics, 24-hour, you know, storefront clinics, you know, it's all about the money. Even for your medications. And I say yours because I'm not on any, fortunately, but I am getting older and it's probably inevitable for me too. I will probably become a pill popper. And that's going to suck, you know, but I'm doing it for my loved ones. But if I was like was single with no family, you can best believe no, I would just let whatever run its course and take as much pain or discomfort as I could until I couldn't no more and just let whatever's going to kill me, kill me. So, but that's me. That's my personal choice. That's how I feel about the situation. And you do you, I'll do me, and let's agree to disagree. But respect each other's differences in opinion. You know, but I live in Texas now. Of course, born and raised in New York City, but in Texas, We're up to 75% capacity for restaurants. A lot of the bars have circumvented the rules by changing themselves into restaurants, by, you know, rebranding themselves as restaurants. And that's a smart thing to do, I think, because, you know, it's all about capitalism, all about business, right? Business must go on. It's got to go on, you know? So we shall see what happens. Will you take the coronavirus vaccine? I can tell you right now, I'm not. I will not be taking the coronavirus vaccine. I go out in public damn near every day. My wife and son do. Neither of us, none of us have been sick. Flu season is fast approaching. I hope we don't get sick. I hope nobody else gets sick. That would be great, right? At some point, this has to slow down. But I've had all kind of considerations in terms of what this could be. Some of the conspiracy theorists say it's associated with 5G. The 5G cell phone and communications band. Some say that it is a biological weapon that's been released and that can be controlled. And that they are controlling the severity and how many people die on any given day. You know, there's some wild conspiracy theories out there when it comes to the coronavirus. And I don't know if it's true. I don't know if any of them are false or true or what. But I don't rule out any of them, any of the possibilities. If you have any recollection of historical data when it comes to governments, there's no way you can trust them. And they house all the cash and the power and the cutting edge technological abilities. Our governments have that. You and I, the regular, quote unquote, common, regular person, we're not privy to that until decades after it's publicly released, after they've learned to control it. And that's that's something they want to release. And I proved that point every time by telling people, look up when the stealth bomber, you know, that thing that looks like a floating wing, that's a radar evasive. Look when it was manufactured. It looks futuristic today, right? It's manufactured in the 50s. Yes, that's right. The 1950s. And there's a very, well-known, aerospace company owner. And I don't remember if it's Northrop Grumman or Boeing or which one it was. But, you know, he's quoted as saying, and I'm going to have to look that up for future episodes. But, he's quoted as saying, we now have the technology to take ET home. What the fuck does that mean? I know what it sounds like. It sounds like we have craft that uses different types of propulsion other than the jet and propeller thrusting, what we call flying, which is really thrusting through the sky, you know, and magnetic levitation and the means to navigate space easily and to go to other star systems. If we could take ET home, that means we can easily visit other planets. Now, let's be clear, even from a today's standard, what's publicly released, we have set foot on the moon. We have rovers on Mars. We have observers on moons. Look, what we know, I think, is just a mere fraction of what's actually happening. Okay? For instance, I'll just go ahead and shelve the coronavirus talk, and move on to the next subject. Since I got into speaking about space, but before I close out, where I was going with that was conspiracy and coronavirus. What could it be? But closing the coronavirus subject out, protect yourself. Try to eat right. Try to exercise. Drink plenty of water. Watch what you consume. You know, watch what you touch and where you go. And be careful out there. All right. So moving on. Another subject I was going to talk about was the Starlink. Are you familiar with Starlink? Huh? The Elon Musk, one of his many, many endeavors, who, by the way, recently said he's going to come out with a $25,000 electric car. I'm waiting for that one. But Starlink is a project that is going to, or is actually doing, satellites all around the planet Earth that will provide high-speed internet at a speed of 1 gig per second. Okay? Now, you've seen these movies, right? These futuristic movies. And, you know, the internet is seamless, and it's the speed of light, and it's not even something we think about in the future. It's automatic. Okay? This is a step in that direction. Starlink aims, let me just put it in perspective. They have about close to 800 satellites already in orbit, and they're testing this system out. But the goal is 30,000 satellites orbiting planet Earth to provide high-speed internet. And they're not the only ones. OneWeb with Amazon's Jeff Bezos is doing it. I mean, these guys are spearheading the technological advances for the future. Okay? Let's just be very clear about it. The future is here and now, and moving exponentially fast forward. Okay? So, if you're a forward thinker like I try to be, and apparently like these guys definitely are, and they've acquired the means to play with this technology and dream big and implement these dreams, the future, just imagine 10, 20, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, where everybody listening to this will be dead. We'll all be dead 100 years from now, right? In the year 2120. What's it going to be like? What is going to be like for my kids, 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 right? Internet probably won't even be a thing, okay? I did a episode on digital addiction, and I'm going to do another one, maybe a series, because we're all addicted to these screens, right? Phones, tablets, televisions, computers, and we can't put them down. And it's just going to get more and more clearer, more immersive. I know the 8K televisions will be coming out. You know, so Starlink, this technology is so awful and great all at the same time. We just got to learn how to control it, just like any other addiction. Moving on, the NFL. Did anybody watch the games? And this is, you know, something that I'm happy to see. That the NFL players are playing out there, they balling. The most recent games that I saw were last Sunday, and it was the Cowboys against Atlanta and the Seahawks against the Patriots. Cowboys Atlanta was the early game, among the early games, and the Seahawks Patriots was the night game. I'm going to talk about Seahawks Patriots first because I don't have a whole lot to say on that. It was 35-30 Seahawks. And everybody's claiming Russell Wilson is the MVP. And it's, you know, just two games in. He's doing his thing. He's got a nice cast of players with him. And, you know, they balling. And it was an exciting game to watch. Got down to the last minute. And, you know, go Russell Wilson and his wife Sierra. And they look like they might be good people. At least that's the image that they have. I don't know them, so I don't know. All I know is what their public persona is. But the game that I watched, and I watched both games, but I watched the Cowboys Atlanta. And of course, you know, for those that don't know, I've mentioned it in other episodes, I was a season ticket holder for the first 3 years when they had the new stadium I had club seats out there. It was an enjoyable experience, but I got rid of the tickets because I wasn't. It's about an hour drive and fighting the traffic, even though I had a designated parking spot. And then when I'm out there, I'm not paying any attention to the game. I'm eating, I'm drinking, I'm partying. You know, when there's a big play and the crowd roars, yeah, I would look. But, you know, I was like, yo, my money could be better spent. So, and nothing to Jerry World. I got a picture on my wall because I got to meet Jerry when I had my initial tour once I bought my tickets. And I got to spend about 5 minutes with Jerry. He was just sitting in the stadium with, I'm assuming, a couple of his guys, maybe attorneys. And I asked the guy that was giving me the tour. It's like, yeah, is Jerry approachable? He's like, you just spent a lot of money buying tickets. Yeah, he approachable. So I talked, and Jerry was very welcoming. And, you know, it's like, I get a picture, took a picture. We talked to boys. We talked to building the stadium, you know. And he was very gracious. I ended the conversation and left. I had the feeling, you know, we might have kicked it, exchanged numbers and partied a little bit. He was very cool, Jerry Jones, even though I don't know that I agree wholeheartedly. I know he has to balance the way he really feels versus letting his players, you know, peacefully protest through kneeling and other means. But that Cowboys Atlanta game, which was, it ended, you know, 40-39 Cowboys, was one of the most exhilarating, nerve wracking games I've ever seen in my life. And like I said, I'm biased because when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Even though I was born and raised in New York, I do root for the Dallas Cowboys. You know, they're America's team, which one of my homeboys debates. I'm laughing because he debates that hard. We both from New York. He's like, what makes them America's team? I was like, they've been America's team. That's their motto. The Cowboys had their own movie, and many people all around the planet love the Dallas Cowboys. So, and just let me say, Starlink, the Cowboys, any of the stuff that I'm mentioning, I'm not endorsed by anyone. As you know, I'm trying to keep my podcast ad-free. So on that note, I would appreciate any support you can give. Like, follow, subscribe, comment, you know, shoot me an email. I love feedback. Mike's Opinion Show@gmail.com. That's M-I-K-E-S, opinionshow@gmail.com. Shoot me an email. I respond. So far, I can respond to everybody that's, you know, that sent me a message about any subject. That's fine with me. And if you want to send me something like a new microphone, new computer, something like that, which is desperately needed, you know, that would be great. Just shoot me an email and I'll send you the address. And if you are in a position to donate in monetary fashion, that would be greatly appreciated so I can continue to grow the show. Cash App, you know, Venmo. There are several ways that I have that you can support the show with money. And if you want to do that, just look in the show notes and the link is right there. I'd really greatly, greatly appreciate that. And if you shoot me an email to let me know that you did so I know the system is working correctly, that'd be great too. Oh, you don't have to, but that would be great. But anyway, back to this game. Man, Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, Amari Cooper, yo. And they don't have like Vander Esch. They don't have the, you know, Tyron Smith. The first half was a disaster, but they never gave up. They kept balling. They kept balling. And then there was mistakes. Atlanta made a mistake on the onside kick, watched it roll 10 yards, didn't jump on it. Oh, yo, I'm telling you, I'm jumping up and down. I'm yelling at the TV. It was just exciting. And, you know, right now, with everything that's going on, you know, the coronavirus, the election, social unrest, you know, all this stuff that's going on, it's nice to just enjoy a football game. You know, I'm kind of into the NBA a bit, you know what I'm saying? But football, I love football. I love the game of football, everything about it. You know what I'm saying? But if you aren't tuning in, and you just want to get an escape, they're balling. These NFL games are very interesting, entertaining, and exciting. Moving on. RIP RBG. And if you don't know what those letters mean, it means rest in peace, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who passed away and is lying in repose right now at the Supreme Court. And, you know, I was doing a little digging, a little research because for this episode, because I knew of her. I've heard you know, good things about her. Every once in a while, when she has an opinion or a dissent that makes news. But there were some things that I didn't know about her. And I'll share a couple of those things with you right now. You know, one is that she went to Harvard, but didn't finish at Harvard. She actually transferred to Columbia University and finished there. She was elected to the court in 1993. Of course, she passed in 2020. She was considered a moderate. And I don't know. I mean, I think I knew this because, you know, she became the notorious RBG thanks to the notorious B.I.G. And I always thought it was just the wordplay, you know, on the letters, you know, B.I.G., R.B.G. But she was actually born in Brooklyn, just like B.I.G. So I think that she had good intentions. She was an advocate for women's rights. And she did some really, really good work behind the scenes for women in a variety of ways, affecting a variety of cases. You know, sadly, pancreatic cancer took her. Cancer. Are we ever going to beat cancer? It seems like we should have beat cancer by now. But cancer takes young, old, rich, poor, Democrat, Republican. You know, it doesn't matter. Cancer is still fucking shit up. And I just would like to know, historically, has cancer always been around? Or is this new? Because I hypothesize and think about and speculate that I wonder if there can be a correlation in the increase, if there's an increase in cancer with microwave usage and cell phone usage and computer usage and even further back, you know, electrical lines, you know what I'm saying? And water treatment plants, you know, I just wonder if 200-300 years ago, was cancer as prevalent as it is now? I wonder that. I'd like to know if there's any research out there. I have to do some digging on that and come back and do either a cancer episode or a cancer series. But the notorious RBG, rest in peace, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and your fight with cancer would be over. I know you would have liked to have hold on to after the election because the Republicans are hell-bent on placing a judge in the Supreme Court to replace her before the election transpires. Okay, and we don't have a lot of time left. Just over a month until we have a new president or continuing with the same president. And I have mixed emotions on that. You know, it's crazy because when President Obama was trying to get his candidate elected, they said they would not vote before an election because it also happened during an election year. I think when Scalia maybe passed. But yeah, so it's funny because the news cycles have been playing these same politicians' words who said they would never vote for Supreme Court Justin right before an election, who are now all for nominating and injecting a new Supreme Court Justice before an election. But before I get off of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I found out that she did the Lilly Ledbetter Act for fair wages, but was very involved in that, which, you know, made it illegal and discriminatory for fair wages not to be a national norm, regardless of your sex, male or female, should be paid the same. And when I was investigating or researching that, I found out that that was the very first bill that Obama signed into law, the Lilly Ledbetter Act, which was one of RBG's babies. So go RBG, right? Yeah, that's something else. I think that's pretty amazing. Yeah. So rest in peace, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Moving on. Have you heard about the Space Force? Space Force. That sounds weird, right? But And there's been many, I think there's even a Netflix show, satire, there's jokes about it. But isn't that the next progression for us? Are we not going to have a space force, a militarized space force? Well, just a few days ago, the first 20 airmen were sworn in to the United States Space Force, which is an arm of the United States Air Force, for which I did serve in the United States Air Force. They did it in Qatar, at the Al Udeid Air Base. I was thinking to myself when I read that, why couldn't they do it in the United States? Why would you launch or swear in the first members of the Space Force in the Middle East? That seemed a little odd to me, you know? But it is what it is. Now, once again to the conspiracy theorists, there are many stories. You do not have to look hard for people, even interviews from people who say that they have been on an already existing space force where they have bases already on the moon and Mars. Imagine just for a moment that that's true. Imagine for a moment that there is technology that exists that we can bounce back and forth intergalactically, interplanetary, from planet to planet, and we don't know anything about it. You and I, just John Q. Public, know nothing about this, but our tax dollars are going to this types of black projects. They call them black projects because supposedly they're hidden, right? So imagine for a second that that's a thing, you know? And like I said, stealth bomber, 1950s. So who knows? But I just wonder, can't they find a way to siphon a little of that technology out? Leak a little bit of it out? Of course it would change whole industries, like the airline industry. Like, if we have this type of air travel, imagine getting from New York to LA in 20 minutes or less. Huh? Suppose transporter, like the Star Trek transporter, suppose that's real. I think these are inevitable technological advances, whether we have them now and they're secret, or they are developed in the future. Time travel, teleportation, interstellar travel. These are all where we're going. I don't think these things are too far-fetched. And I don't think they're that far off. Like, I don't think they're thousands of years off. Not even hundreds of years off. This might be a reality in the next 100 years. Okay, space tourism, exploring the underwater world that we have right here on Earth. You know, they say space is the final frontier. That's what they said in the Star Trek opening, right? Man, I can't tell you how much I wish I could be alive during those times. But I have been alive during the birth of color television, the birth of HD television, the birth of the cell phone, the birth of the internet, and many other things that I have been alive and seen these things come to fruition. So I guess every generation gets their things. They get the witness being born. But man, to be able to leave Earth for vacation or a business trip or just an exploratory trip, just exploring, man, that would be... I can't even tell you, that would be invigorating. That would be so awesome, you know? But when you think about it, I mean, we have people living in space right now. Right now. The ISS, the International Space Station, has been there for a long time, and people are living in it. And have been, and they rotate. So, it's not that far-fetched. When you think about it, right now, today, we have a rover, several, on Mars. Roaming around, listening, taking pictures, video, taking ground samples. We have telescopes that can see, supposedly, to the beginning of the Big Bang. And I often wonder, what have they seen past that? You know? And I've never wanted to be in politics, you know, but I would like to be a part of that secret society. So check this out. Illuminati, secret society, if you're listening to the Mike's Opinion podcast, I can handle it. Okay? I can keep a secret. As much as I would love to divulge and share it with the masses, well, not really, because we know all the masses are the masses, and yeah. But I can keep a secret. Okay? I wouldn't even tell my wife. I wouldn't tell my children, my mother, nobody. But I wouldn't want to disappear from them. So if I have to disappear from them, then keep me in the dark. But if you can find a way, you know, sign me up for 9 to 5, and I tell wifey, hey, I got to work weekends, or I got to go out of town, you know, for this government job, and I'm going to be in a bunker, and I can't, you know, I won't be able to communicate with you in any way, and I could go visit some other planets and come back, I'll just be like, yeah, it's boring, you know, I would just play it down, and I would take that secret to my deathbed. So if you're listening, I would love to be involved, because I want to see, I want to experience, and I want to lend my talents and help in any way I can. You know, that's a big ask, I know. And they say, be careful what you wish for, right? But if they can compensate me in a way that will make, you know, my wife and child nice and secure, and I can, you know, serve in that way, sign me up. Take me to the stars. I'm ready. Yes, I actually... My partner, my homeboy, my brother from another mother, because I signed up for the Mars thing when they were asking for volunteers for Mars. And this was, you know, a long time ago. I didn't get selected. But he was like, man, you're crazy. I'm not about to leave this planet. It's like, why not, man? Got to pioneer it, you know? You got to get out there. We got to try. Yeah. Moving on. Dr. Dre. And I talked about this in the last update, but there was a recent update. Dr. Dre, of course, married 24 years, is going through an ugly divorce to his wife. And the latest is his wife, they accused her of stealing 300 G's from the studio. First of all, I'm like, why you got $300,000 in cash just chilling around the studio? But, she wants $2 million a month plus more. I know, you know, Dre is a billionaire, but you ain't gonna stay a billionaire paying $2 million a month. But hey, good luck. I hope y'all reconcile and get back together and kiss and make up. That's what I hope on that. So, moving on. And this is the last subject of this update. And I wanted to discuss Breonna Taylor. Now, I start making my notes for each episode, doing my research a day or two beforehand. And I was going to actually drop this app yesterday. But I started making the notes, time got away from me. And I, as you know, I digress a lot. And I not only do that on the podcast, I do that in a variety of ways. And when I was doing the research, I started thinking about this and that and this. Anyway, so I was like, you know what? I'll drop it today. And I'm glad I waited, and I'm sad that I waited. I wish I didn't even have to include this in the update, but the Breonna Taylor case had a major development today. None of the officers were indicted for her murder. Of the three officers that could have possibly got indicted, only one was indicted, and the charge was for wanton endangerment. And that was because he shot indiscriminately into the neighbor's house, not just Breonna Taylor and her boyfriend's apartment. So right now, as I record this, it's the middle of the night, and there is civil unrest again, which really never stopped, but all across our great nation, United States of America, people are protesting, people are pissed. Now, I haven't yet seen George Floyd level destruction or Mr. Blake destruction, the gentleman that was shot in the back 7 times. However, in Louisville, Kentucky, 2 cops did get shot tonight. Or I should say last night at this point. 2 cops got shot. My understanding is their injuries are not life-threatening. We may be in for more weeks of civil unrest because a lot of people were watching this Breonna Taylor. From LeBron James to a host of famous people, Breonna Taylor has been at the forefront. And we were waiting for some type of justice to be served. Not that any can really be served because we can never bring her back from the dead. That just popped off last night. Tonight, really, because it's still nighttime while I'm recording this. Even though it's technically morning. I watched the major news outlets beforehand to see the video. And I think this has the potential to get a lot uglier. And as a black man, I'm just going to tell you what I've said before. This is exhausting. This is heartbreaking. This is beyond frustrating. This is tiring. But I can never give up. As I said, of the many things that I want my podcast to be, chief amongst them is to help heal this planet, to contribute positively. But I also count this as my part in the protest because I'm not out there on the front lines. I'm not out there marching in the streets for reasons that I've mentioned in other episodes. But, you know, just putting it out there that the system that has been implemented since the onset and birth of this nation must change at its most fundamental levels and beyond. From the foundation all the way up has to change. The momentum has begun. I don't know if it can be sustained. I know a lot of people don't understand the property destruction, the rioting, the looting, the looting, the marching, the protesting. I know you don't understand some of y'all, but at some point, people get tired of being tired. People get tired of being murdered. People get tired of injustice and the systemic racism. And we would rather burn it down than live with it for yet another day until true inclusion and true change comes. And like I told you, you listen to other episodes, previous episodes, you know, I've gone way more in depth than I'm going to go now. Because I want to keep this right here on Breonna Taylor. May you rest in peace, Miss Taylor. I hope your soul can be at rest. But before these non-indictments came down, the governor of Illinois readied the National Guard. The mayor of Louisville, Kentucky declared a state of emergency. And this is days before this happened. These non-indictments, these lack of any real justice. So it's clear that they knew where the prosecutor was going because they prepared, which might be why, particularly in Louisville that in Chicago, that the unrest has been contained somewhat. Okay. They did announce a week or two ago that the city did settle a $12 million settlement with Breonna Taylor's family. And I'm pretty sure they would rather have Breonna, well, at least I hope they would rather have Miss Taylor back instead of $12 million. But I am disappointed. And their defense was there being the cops. Their defense was that, you know, well, the Breonna Taylor's boyfriend started shooting and they had no choice to shoot but to shoot back. First of all, they was at the wrong place and they were doing a no-knock warrant. They did not identify themselves as police officers. So the boyfriend manned up and protected his house. You know, what you gonna do if you exercise your right to bear arms and somebody kicks in your door? I'm shooting. So the same thing has the potential to happen to me. Because if I don't hear police, and even if I do hear police, some criminals might yell police just to get you to pause for a minute. You know? So I pray, hope that that never happens. That I live in a really quiet suburban place, so the likelihood of that happening is slim to none. And I don't have any illegal activities of any kind going on. So there's that. And I have, I'll just say, precautionary measures in place that they cannot approach my front door or my back door or my garage without me knowing they're there first. So I'm ready. So anybody approaches my perimeter and my perimeter is breached, I'm going to know it before they even get to my door or get to even try to break in my door. So, and I advise everybody to do the same. Technology is relatively cheap, easy to install, and you can secure your entire perimeter, no matter where you live. Visually, in auditory fashion, and in other means. It's worth it. I also have pets, and they probably will let me know something because they can smell and hear stuff better than any surveillance can. They know when something is out of place. Get you a couple cats, couple dogs. They'll let you know. They'll let you know real early. They'll come wake your ass up. Yes. But don't get one of those barking ass dogs though. You know, cause we go for walks around the neighborhood. My dog is quiet. 85 dogs could walk past my house. My dog won't bark once. Some of these dogs, if you just, as soon as you walk by, I couldn't live with no dogs like that. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't do it. But part of the reforms that are going on in Louisville, they've outlawed no-knock warrants or are about to. No more no-knock warrants. How dangerous are you that they have to surprise you and serve a warrant without even knocking on your door? Now, my understanding is the boyfriend was a suspected drug dealer. He wasn't a suspected mass murderer, a suspected terrorist bomber, okay? Does a drug dealer really need a no-knock warrant? Huh? Especially if you got the place surrounded? I'm thinking probably not, right? But once again, I speak from the experiences living in the skin of a black man, and I can tell you for centuries, not days, not weeks, not months, not years, not decades, but centuries, hundreds upon hundreds of years, these murders, these injustices, these abuses have been continuing consecutively since day one. Day one, undeniable fact, and still continue to this day. Make no mistake about it. Yes, there's more awareness, but not a whole lot more change has happened. It's going to be a long time coming, and I'm not, like I said, optimistic. This hatred has to be washed out of generations. Because there are still people teaching their children how to hate. They're not teaching them how to love. They're teaching them how to hate. And unfortunately, a lot, if not the majority, in fact, I'll dare say the majority of enforcers, aka law enforcement, are white males. Yes. White males with their own prejudices and biases. And they are armed with badges, guns, and clearly the justice system on their side. Okay? And what's crazy is that the Kentucky Attorney General is black. And I laugh to keep from crying because it's tone deaf, and to not bring these police officers to justice. Okay? To say that they were justifying and firing back when they had the wrong address to begin with, the level of frustration is deafening to me. It's almost like I can't hear myself think. You know, as of right now, 2 Louisville police officers shot, 9 life-threatening injuries. And I think this might be the tip of the iceberg. I'm not an advocate for property damage or breaking the law per se, but I understand the passion. I understand the frustration. I feel the disappointment. I feel the insult, the outlandish, outrageous anger. I feel it, and I know that many others feel it too. Black people have never wanted revenge. All we wanted is to be included and treated fairly. That's all. That's all we want. Okay? Rest in peace, Breonna Taylor. I hope you are listening. I hope you that are listening out there are safe and healthy. Thank you so much for listening to the Mike's Opinion Podcast. I'm Mike. Stay safe out there.
Thank you so much for listening to Mike's Opinion. Logic.